last couple of Sundays, I've tried to preach out of Amos. 2 weeks ago, I guess, here, and then last Sunday at Old School, I started in Amos and kind of I went further over into the book of Acts, and I'd like to quickly move from Amos, just a couple of verses over to Acts, and then take a step back and talk about an event that happened, that occurred in the Apostle Peter's life, in his ministry, and the meaning of that to all of us. In Amos, in the last chapter of the book of Amos, the 9th chapter, there are two verses, the 11th and the 12th verses, and I won't read those, but it speaks of actually the remnant of Edom, or the Gentiles is what it's speaking of, and the inheritance there. The heathen, as it even says there in the 12th verse, speaks of them as the heathen, those that were not among the Hebrew people. They were heathen, they were called uncircumcised, and they typically worshipped idols and all. But we learn that God had a people among those nations, those heathen nations. And Amos, a lot of Amos covers that and speaks of judgment upon those other nations. Now, if we jump quickly over to Acts chapter 15... we see where the Apostle James here in the 13th verse, and then he begins to speak. There was a conflict here among the within the church, many of which were Christian Jews. And so some of the men from Judea taught the brethren and said, this is in the first verse of the 15th chapter, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So they are trying to place a burden upon the Gentiles and upon the Jews. They're trying to place this burden that's needless upon the church here. And so there was disputing here. Paul and Barnabas and James was there and the Apostle Peter. And so they had, and the 7th verse says, much disputing. Here, but James in the 13th verse begins. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simeon." Simeon is the Hebrew for Simon. Simon Peter is who he's talking about here, the Apostle Peter. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. And then in the 16th and 17th verse, he quotes Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. So James uses that to make his point and to back up what the Apostle Peter has just declared. That the Gentiles were brought into the family of God, and certainly there were Gentiles that, and I know that the Apostle Paul was called the Apostle of the Gentiles, but Peter was the first one that preached to the Gentiles, and I see that, and God used Peter, the Apostle Peter, and his gift to preach to minister to the Gentiles there first, and certainly to the Jews. And Peter still had issues and problems dealing with that. James is backing up now what Peter had just said. Now let me step back in this same chapter here. But in the 8th verse, one of the things that Peter said here says, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." And he's speaking from the 7th verse of the Gentiles. He's saying that God, which knoweth their hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, the Jews. So there's no difference here. Now Peter had an experience here, and he even tells them about it. Let me get one verse though of where I'm going to end up, but I want to get this out of the 10th chapter of Acts. It's the 10th chapter, that ties into this 8th verse, where God knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving the Gentiles the Holy Ghost, even as he did the Jews. 35th verse, 10th chapter of Acts. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The Gentiles that Peter speaks of here, it wasn't after Peter witnessed to them that he preached to the Gentiles. It wasn't after they heard the gospel preached that they feared him and worked righteousness and was accepted with him. God already had called them in eternity, just as he did the Jews that he called out of the Hebrew nation. Then Peter witnessed among them and God bear witness among them through Peter, and he already knew their hearts. He did not, God and predestination and election, the calling of the children of God. It isn't that God looked down through the annals of time and saw how much good or how much evil we might do and said, okay, they did a little bit more good, so I'll choose them. No, he saw actually how lost we were and we would be, but he didn't see that we do good because he demands perfection. When we're in heaven, when our soul and spirit, even now, has been made holy, sanctified, perfect through God Almighty, through the application of the blood of Christ at Calvary to our heart, soul, and spirit, we've been baptized, totally immersed by the Holy Ghost. As they make reference to here, so Peter here, the Apostle Peter is disputing them, and in fact that begins in the 7th verse in that 15th chapter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And 9th verse says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And this is something new to many of the Jews here, and yet it wasn't new to Peter or Paul or Barnabas. Knowing how they looked, and we'll read in a minute some of the wording, the verbiage on how they've looked, the Jews looked to the Gentiles as dogs, as heathens, and they were, but yet God brought them into the kingdom, and I see and as we read Peter's experience here in the 10th chapter, and that's where I'll go now, to understand that. I think of the Apostle Paul as we read Romans and even Hebrews, the job that he had ahead of himself and through the blessing of God to convince the Jewish people or some among them that Jesus was the Christ. He is the Messiah we've all been looking for. Certainly, Paul, prior in his life, being Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee of Pharisees, and he knew the law. He followed the law. So God chose Paul to write this inspired word and to preach to the Jews first. Then he preached to the Gentiles. How difficult would that have been had God not blessed Paul in that? And I think of Peter and his experience, and he was following. He was one of the Christian Jews that was still following some of the, as far as the what he was supposed to eat and not eat. through the law. He was still following that as a Christian Jew, and he put much importance on that. Now, in the 10th chapter, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Cornelius, he's a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Let me stop there. Cornelius is a Gentile. He is one of these terrible heathens, the uncircumcised, that Peter was not even allowed to enter into his home or to preach to. Why do it? Go back and think of Jonah, who was sent to preach to this evil, wicked nation and go to Nineveh to preach. God sent him, and he finally went there, as we know. And I think of Amos, the prophet Amos, who was sent from that southern kingdom down there where he was a herdman up to the northern kingdom to prophesy unto them. How difficult that must be. I've never been sent somewhere where I didn't feel like God was blessing me in going, and that he had sent me there to preach the gospel. But I can't imagine Jonah, we're critical of him and what he did, running from God and so forth. But then Amos immediately went to the northern kingdom and preached up there against them in Bethel, against idolatry. Now, here we see Peter is called and sent to Caesarea to preach to Gentiles. These are all out of the ordinary. It's not typical. We get into our comfort zone, these two prophets and now this apostle, God put them outside of their comfort zone and taught them a great lesson. And he taught God's people a great lesson here. And so that Cornelius was a man of great power. He was over 100 men in the military. He was of the Italian band. He was from Rome, but this cohort was in Caesarea. And at this time, I'll go ahead and tell you that Peter, at this point in time, is in a little town called Joppa. And today, you would think most of you have heard of Tel Aviv, Israel. That's where Joppa is. That is right there on the Mediterranean, about 33 miles south of Caesarea. That's how far Cornelius is right now from the Apostle Peter. That's that distance there. And so this 100 military cohort here was assigned and deployed to Palestine from Rome. They were an Italian band. Now, Cornelius, we learn a little bit more about him. It says in the second verse that Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. If he this is the inspired word of God here. God's telling us that Cornelius, this heathen, this uncircumcised, in this other nation, a Gentile, feared God. If he feared God, revered God, he is a child of God. Otherwise, it would not say that. And so we know some about him. At this point, Peter doesn't even know that he exists. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. This angel of God called his name, and it says, the first sentence line there says, evidently. It doesn't mean, well, evidently this is what happened. No, it means clearly, concisely, this happened. He saw this vision. Now, if I proclaim to you today that it's the same God today. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. He's immutable. It's the same God. Then who am I to question if someone has a vision even now? It's not fairy tales. It can happen. Never happened to me, as I've said many times. This man Cornelius had a vision with an angel came and said, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. and said, "What is it, Lord?" And so he knew where this angel comes from. And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." I would love if I saw in a vision an angel of God telling me that my alms and my prayers had come up as a memorial to God. I believe we've been told that. I believe we know that within our heart, soul, and spirit. To hear that. Anyway, he goes on and says, he tells Cornelius, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." So, trying to hang on to and keep these names straight. I'm terrible with names. Someone's introduced to me, and immediately I walk away, forget their names. But when we have James called Simon Peter, Simeon, who is Simon, whose surname is Peter. And now he's in Joppa, and he's staying with a man named Simon. So it's almost like he's just trying to confuse me, but it's Simon the Tanner in Joppa by the seaside, 35 miles south of Caesarea, where Cornelius is about to do as God, through this angel, this messenger, told him. So he's telling him where he lodges and where he's staying. When the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And he told them all these things. He told these two servants and the soldier, "This is where you're going to go, down to Joppa." And walking and all, it would be round trip, it'd be about 4 days. And so this is where you're going. And he told them why. Because when they got there, they had to tell Simon Peter, "This is why you need to come and see our master in Caesarea." So you can almost hear, in the ninth verse, "On the morrow, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city of Joppa," this is where Peter, and they're going to look for Simon the Tanner's house, where Simon Peter is. "Peter went up on the house upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." So as these men are journeying this 35 miles south, right there along the Mediterranean, Peter is here at this house, and he's on the housetop, and he's hungry, but he fell into a trance. They're preparing the meal during this time in the house. And he saw, Peter saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. So this is this vision he saw as he's in this trance. So now Cornelius had his vision. God told him what to do. And now Peter is having this vision of this this vessel being lowered down, descending. 13th verse says, "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" So he's told what to do with this within this vision. He's still seeing this in this trance. "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.'" Again, that goes back to the Jewish custom and the law, where they were only supposed to eat certain things and not eat other things, unclean and clean and so forth. So he obviously knows where this voice, who this is coming from. He says, "Not so, Lord." Then he's told, he's here in the 15th verse, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.'" Don't call something that God has cleansed common or unclean. God's cleansed that. He's teaching Peter a lesson. Now, And this happens three times. Somewhere it says thrice this happened. This happened three times. I can't help but think of Peter denying Christ three times. And where up here where it said, we're in the 11th verse, and Peter saw heaven open, I can't think of the same words over in chapter 7 of Acts where Stephen looked up. And saw, but it's there, it said, the heavens open. And he saw Jesus Christ standing there, the Son of God, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. So Peter saw the heaven open, but he says, not so, Lord. And this happens three times. And I've always thought to say, not so, Lord, and that from what I've heard, read about Peter's personality, the strength in it, and where he cut off the ear of that servant of the high priest when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so forth. But so I'm critical of him. Not so, Lord. He knew who was telling him this, but not so, Lord. Not once, but three times. And yet, I see his dedication in his service to God. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. I've never done this. And to cut him some slack, as we do the other Jews who had said, well, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. It's been fulfilled. Now, he is your Messiah. He is your Redeemer. And that's a lot to take in. I can't imagine for centuries. This is what you've been taught. Now, okay, everything's changed now. And Peter's being told to rise, kill, and eat these things here, all of these things in this vision. But he's devout, and but he's being taught something, and he's fixing to teach the Jews something, and all of us, the children of God. I'm thankful again that the Gentiles were brought in, that we've been brought into the family of God, because we're not Jews, and so God has taken care of those out of these nations that he chose. Not all of them, out of those nations, as I read. So it happened three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. 17th verse says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So he doesn't understand, and I can certainly relate to that, reading God's Word and rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's a job, he'll understand this as we move along here. But the men have made it, those three, the two servants and the military man that's under, that reports to Cornelius, they're here at the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which is surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So now Peter's told, go with them, I have sent them. And so Peter went down to the men, 21st verse, sent from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am whom ye seek, and what is the cause wherefore ye are come? So he's asking them now. He still doesn't understand this. What does this vision mean? And so they told him. That's why Cornelius told them, these men, because they were going to have to tell Simon Peter, this is why we need you. He says, let me skip on down. Tells him about Cornelius, feareth God, just man. Says in the 24th verse, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, so they made it the walk back up 35 miles to Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So in the house of Cornelius, Cornelius has gathered all of his kinsmen and his friends in his house. That sounds a lot to me like we've done as Primitive Baptists. Many churches gather, even this church, old school church, many first met in a home. They met in a house. for a couple of centuries at the time that that Christ was here, and then after the church was set up, they met in homes. They had to hide out because they would be imprisoned or killed or and die. So he gathered in Cornelius. If I could but be as Cornelius was and be that excited. So we've got some man coming from out of town, a preacher, and he's going to come tell me what I need to do, what I ought us to do, and he gathers everyone together, and he's ready for him. He's ready for this, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Well, that doesn't sound good. We know Peter. We know what Paul was like when he was Saul of Tarsus. We know these men here, and who they truly are, and it's continued up to this day of the both natures within us. But he fell down and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." So he had him rise up. So Peter, at this point, he reacted wisely. He chose wisely here. He told him, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." Prior to this point, that word "also" might not have been in there. Peter would have said, "Stand up. I myself am a man." But he's also just, he was acknowledging that Cornelius was a man also. The Jews did not do that. They were heathens. Uncircumcised. And so already that one little word in there, that's why, and I have comparisons of different translations of the Bible, and it amazes me how much is left out and changed, entire verses and words and words that are changed in the NIV versus the King James translation. And it just one word there changes the entire meaning of that verse. "I myself also am a man. Stand up." And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And so then Peter, instead of trying to make a good first impression on them, he tells them there and said unto them, 28th verse, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." So he's telling him, this is against the law. I'm breaking the law here as a Jew coming even, talking to you, speaking to you, coming into his house here. He says, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." So Peter at this point knows. Now he stumbles later on to where Paul has to stand in his face, and you may know that that story. Remember that, you probably do, but he slips up all for looks, and so again I can relate to a lot of these things that happen, good and bad, to some of these apostles. "God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." So he knew what the vision meant there that he saw. He knew. "Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for." He didn't do as Jonah did and go the other direction. He went. He did as Amos did. "I asked therefore what intent have you sent for me?" So we know that God had told Cornelius, "Send for him and he'll tell you what thou oughtest to do." So skipping on down to move forward in the 34th verse, Peter began to preach. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation," here I am with the verse I read before, "in every nation, he that feareth him worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." He begins to preach, and he preaches Jesus Christ. He preaches the same thing that we preach today, the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. And so God was merciful. God did not have to send a messenger to Cornelius and tell him, "Go ask this man for help and for that he'll tell you what to do." And yet Cornelius still would have been a child of God. He is a child of God, saved by the blood of Christ. But God was merciful to him and his kinsmen, his household, his friends. There were others there, packed house there. And so Peter preached there. And then down in the 44th verse, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Holy Ghost is God, the same God, that he doesn't change as well. Then the Trinity does not change. This Holy Ghost came upon them, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so the Jews were astonished at this. This is a Gentile nation, the people here. And so this was unlawful, but they witnessed this. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? Again, this is heading right into the church. He's bringing these ones that God had chosen out of the Gentile nations as his people. Now, I don't want to read all this, but I want to touch just quickly right in chapter 11, the reaction. They were in Judea. Those that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So they're ready to jump all over Peter for going and doing that. It's unlawful. And so Peter could have, he could have done as he did that night of Jesus' trial and denied all of it and been comfortable. Just as the Saul of Tarsus struck down on the road to Damascus, he could have refused and disobeyed God and gone back to his life wherein he had much power there. And so Peter told them, he rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded by order unto them, these men in Judea, and told them. 17th verse. And then I'll go to one other verse and close. For as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So he stood up, defended himself. Who was I that could withstand God himself in that? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So they realized this. So prior, back over in the 15th chapter of Acts, prior to Paul and Barnabas preaching to the Gentiles, Peter had been shown this vision and had preached to the Gentiles for the first time there. This was all new. And all of it, as James quoted Amos prophesied all of this. And so it brings it completely forward here, right into the church. And now we can go to Ephesians, the second chapter, around the 11th verse, I think. Ephesians chapter 2. The 11th verse says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he reconciled the Gentiles, the Jews, and brought them into the same family by the blood of Christ. Paul here is preaching this doctrine here, how God reconciled all of us, certainly reconciled us to God with his blood, the entire family of God, Jew and Gentile alike, out of all of these nations. through the visions and the experiences of his apostles, of those in other nations, Gentiles. We're taught. We see how we were brought in. I don't understand in completeness how I am both born into the family of God and I'm adopted into the family of God. We see the perfection and the completeness of our salvation in that, and it holds up the fact, the truth that we are made righteous through and have been made righteous through Jesus Christ our Savior, who brought us all in, and we've been given this word that we might read these things. James goes back and quotes the old prophets to show them even they prophesied this, and yet there were many that still did not believe. Some of them, though, on the day of Pentecost, it said some of even the priests believed what Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost. That was a great thing. That was a difficult thing to do. Plus, being a big business, the priesthood there in the sacrifices, the money changing and so forth, there in the temple, there they gave up a lot, even secularly, when they gave up the priesthood had that law being fulfilled. But we see all of this, and God has revealed this to us, that we as Gentiles have been brought into the family of God as the Jews through faith, by faith. May God bless and keep you.